This is the Kinky Cast. This is an adult, sexually explicit podcast. If you are under 18 years old, please stop the podcast now. This is episode 25 of our weekly exploration in the kinky world of BDSM and alternative relationships. In today's episode, we chat with John Baku, founder of FetLife website. Here's our hosts, Woody and the Beast.
Thanks, Max, and welcome to another episode of the Kinky Cast. Across the table from me are two lovely people. Hey, Beast, what do you know?
You said two lovely people. I'm only counting the Kate over here.
I was looking below her head.
Oh, y'all are always so nice.
Well, there are two lovely parts of her below her face.
And I haven't even gotten naked yet.
Well, we can help you with that.
Okay, well, we've got some business to do first. We have a guest, and we are very excited to have John Baku, founder and owner of FetLife, our favorite kinky place, here with us.
Yay.
Hi, John.
Hola.
Hola.
Oh, he must be in Mexico today on the Riviera.
No, I'm in Canada.
We're the one south of the border today.
That's one way of looking at it. What's the weather like in Vancouver this time of year? I have no frame of reference for that far north.
It's 26 degrees out.
Really? You're selling me on anything. I'm gullible.
That's 80-something, 85, yeah.
Well, it's not that different here. Okay.
Yeah, it's sunny. It's beautiful.
Plus a very beautiful coastline. I've been to Vancouver many times. It is just gorgeous there.
Yeah, FetLife HQ is, we overlook the water. It's beautiful.
Sounds like a good place to be. So you started a FetLife. You started working on it back in 2007?
That's right. I believe you.
Okay. That's what my research tells me.
October 2007.
The little elves that I have working. How does it feel to be the guy responsible for getting so many kinky people laid every day? Does that make you our pimp daddy?
Pretty crazy. It's very surreal. It probably still hasn't hit me yet. To me, FetLife is still just like a couple dozen people, and then you turn another direction, it's a couple other more dozen people.
Yeah.
I don't think, like, when you talk about digital, it's very hard to tell. Like, I know we're, like, one of the biggest sites in the world, because that's what people tell us, but it's
hard to get a visual of that scale.
For me, it's very surreal.
When you look at your server load, you know that there's a lot of people on.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's and servers load. Yeah, we've come a long way since October 2007.
How many servers are you running currently?
It's not just the amount of servers, but it's how big they are, I guess you can say. We're 40-something servers.
Wow.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. They're all running SSDs. They're all top-of-the-line, you know, as beefed up as it could possibly be. We didn't want to manage many servers. We just want to manage less servers. And, you know, considering the load that we're doing it only on 40 servers, it's 40-something, whatever it is, we're doing a really good job.
I'm pretty impressed to see that you can run a site like this on that. How many petabytes of storage are you running?
I couldn't even tell you. Storage is not really an issue. It's the amount of requests. We do over 1 billion requests a month.
Whoa.
It's a couple billion requests a month. That's what's difficult on us. The storage is really easy these days.
John, I noticed that you're running Ruby on Rails. Is that where you do all your web interface?
So Ruby on Rails is the technology we pretty much use for the front end. Anything that's like more process intense, we will build as a service and we'll write in most likely Erlang. We do have some services that are written in Scala, but we're hoping to port them over to Erlang in the next year.
That was the geek moment for people that want to know what's in the engine.
And for people like me, it made no sense whatsoever. But what was Friends with Fetishes? Was that actually a different site, or is that the genesis for FetLife?
Oh, wow. Your little elves, as you call them, did amazing research. Friends with Fetishes was like the prequel to FetLife.
Yeah.
And basically was kind of like the fetishes section of FetLife
as its own
site.
Okay.
So basically, everybody, you know, had a profile and just listed what fetishes they were into or curious about, and you just got to see other people who were into or curious the same fetishes as you were.
Yeah.
That's all it was. It didn't feel right when I did it. Something was off with the design, so then I moved on to something else, and then I came back and started FetLife.
I think I read somewhere, did you start FetLife while you were still working as a software engineer for somebody else?
Yeah. For the first, not just started it, so I was working at a digital agency 1991, I started FetLife and then stayed at that company until probably April. We launched on January 3rd, 2008. That digital agency had a layoff May of the next year, 2008. And I was just looking for a layoff because, you know, I could then focus full-time on FetLife and collect unemployment insurance for a couple months. Then I did that. Then something, so I worked full-time on it. Then something happened in my life. I went back to working on full-time. And then my boss convinced me to go work full-time on FetLife again. So I quit that job. Mm-hmm. And then ever since then, I've been working full-time on FetLife.
And so the most basic question, what caused you to start FetLife? What was it that you said, hey, there's this gap?
So FetLife wasn't my first foray into the, I guess you'd say, adult industry or space. I was never comfortable with who I was sexually. I felt ashamed of who I was sexually.
Mm-hmm.
I consider that I come from a great family with great parents, and I'm very, very fortunate to have an amazing family and a very large Greek family. And I always felt guilty that even though my parents taught me to treat a woman a certain way, in my head, I always wanted to, like, hurt them or whatever. And I was like, oh, my God, you know, there's something wrong with me.
Yeah.
So I thought I was sick in the head for a very long time until I found IRC. And then even then, I still had dealt with demons in my life for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
I did a reality porn site for a while. Basically, my goal for a very long time was to make other people feel comfortable with who they were sexually.
Mm-hmm.
So they wouldn't have to go through the things that I had to go through.
Yeah.
And that's why FetLife came to be. Friends with Fetishes was for that. Baku Boys, which was an adult reality sexual documentaries that I used to produce, was before that. And none of them felt right until FetLife came about. And then FetLife was like, finally, oh shit. This is how I'm supposed to go about making people feel comfortable with who they are sexually.
What is reality porn?
The whole thing is that when I did Baku Boys was I wasn't just filming somebody having sex. I would get a bunch of people together in a chalet for 48 hours. I'd film everything. I'd film us eating, us preparing food together, connections being made. And if people had sex, we had sex. If they didn't, they didn't. And then people tell their life stories and so forth. And I wanted people who were watching this to be able to connect with other people and say, oh, my God, this person's just like me. I'm not alone in this world. I'm not by myself. There's other people like me. And that's kind of what I want to create.
That sounds fun, actually. It's like Big Brother with a point, you know?
This was 2004 or something. And I just, it didn't feel comfortable because I felt like, something didn't feel right. So after three episodes, I closed it down because I was like, you know what? This doesn't feel right. This doesn't feel like I'm doing it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and like I said, you know, FetLife ended up being, I felt, the right way of doing this, or going about solving this problem.
You know, I personally am grateful that you started FetLife because the other sites that I had been wandering around in the wilderness, stumbling across, like bondage.com and alta.com and whatever else, the experiences I had there were very much unlike anything I've run into on FetLife. It's just a whole different, seems to be more focused on the whole person instead of just sex.
Well, thank you. I mean, that's I always feel like there's much more to somebody than just their sexuality. At least I hope so.
Well, for me, it's got to be integrated, you know? You're not good without the other part. But I read somewhere that one of your ideas was making the site more attractive to women because you said that there were so many men on most sites and not enough women to go around.
So it wasn't exactly that. I did want FetLife to be catered to women first.
Mm-hmm. Well, because you knew the guys would follow.
Exactly. If you make women feel comfortable, then whatever hoops that guys had to jump through, they'd jump through to be able to make the right connection with somebody that interests them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sure, we could make tons more money by offering search based on breast size and what you're into and the color of your hair and all these other things where, hell, if I did a search specifically looking for somebody, I would have never found my partner.
Yeah.
You know, my partner is not exactly, you know, it's kind of the opposite of a lot of things that I normally traditionally look for.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, if we create that search, men would love it, but women would be bombarded.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't be a comfortable place for women to be. So what we did is we tried to cater first to women, make it a comfortable place for women, and also model FetLife a little bit after a bar. When you go to a bar, what, on a good day, if you're amazing, you'll speak to five different people,
mm-hmm.
like five strangers, six strangers. You know, FetLife, you can't message more than, what, 10 people that you don't know or not friends with in a period of 4 or 8 hours. I can't remember what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, the reason that came about is because I was coding in a coffee shop or at a bar. sometimes would code in the local bar when I was younger,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'd be like, hey, by having that limitation, it forces men to think, okay, do I really want to reach my limit in this 8 hours or tonight on somebody that I'm really not even interested in?
Yeah.
So it forces people to make choices. Constraints are great.
Yeah. I think it worked. It also stopped so many of those emailing or messaging 10,000 people with on your knees, bitch, which, you know, happens to us ladies a lot. I guess it happens to men, too.
You mean that doesn't work?
No, that doesn't work, dear.
Now I know.
I think you're successful enough, with even with the constraints on FetLife. But one of the things that I liked about FetLife was the sense of humor that's built into it. And one example of that that really made me laugh, in the community guidelines, saying I totally disagree with you is okay, saying I think you are a dumbass fucktard is not okay. I just love that lack of pretension, that very honest, like you're having a conversation with somebody you know.
And for those who don't in person know that I don't take myself very seriously at all, and I'm very huge into self-deprecating humor. I'm constantly insulting myself.
I've noticed that already, yeah.
And it's not even fake. It's just, that's what I do. So it just, when I write copy for the site, I'm just like, oh, haha, that's pretty funny. And if somebody else gets it, that's great. I just like to make myself laugh. I don't know. So, and I hate these sites that have no personality.
Exactly. And I think that your personality coming through on FetLife is one of the reasons it succeeded. One of the things I wanted to ask you about was FetLife, the decision to block Google from being able to search FetLife. Was that consciously done?
We could have taken the opposite route and made the hundreds and hundreds of millions or billions of pages on FetLife accessible to Google. And by doing that, making FetLife one of the top 100 largest websites in the world. Now, there's definitely arguments that if we did that, would have we ever gone to where we got, so on and so forth. Yeah, okay, I understand those arguments. But we didn't want that. We thought that people cared about their privacy and that they want to separate their kinky life from their vanilla life. And if anybody was interested in FetLife or interested in meeting people, they'd find us. It's not easy to find FetLife, believe it or not. But those who find FetLife, it's because they are kinky or because they're interested in kink. Pretty much for those two reasons, then the Pandora's box opens. But no, I never thought it was important for FetLife to be open. I never thought it was a good idea.
You don't describe yourself as being the typical dominant male out there in the leather boots with the vest and the chaps and, you know, with a whip on your hip. Something about you at the at the 2009 Pantheon of Leather, you won an award. And you said something really interesting about not being comfortable up on the stage because you were the only person there not wearing leather.
How do you know that?
I've read a lot of stuff on you.
Holy cow.
I'm an overachieving little girl that wants approval by doing a good job, John. That's my whole life.
That's awesome. I remember that night. I stood up. And I literally said, sorry, John Beck, who can't be here to accept this award. I'm here in his place to accept this award. Because when I won, you know, everybody else that cheered for me, they all look, and they're just like, who the fuck is this guy? And I'm like, so I was embarrassed. And then, I just ended with, P.S., I'm wearing leather underwear. And then everybody started erupting up into laughter and cheered. And then I got up the stage as quickly as possible. So I was wearing jeans below my ass. That's where I wear my jeans, mm-hmm. like a stupid T-shirt.
No, but I know exactly how you felt at that award ceremony, because we go to a lot of different conferences and events, and there's a whole lot of this black leather, and I never dress quite right for the occasion either. And sometimes it makes you feel like you need to apologize, but then you have to remind yourself, no, fuck it, this lifestyle is about embracing your individuality. So if I'm not wearing leather boots and a leather bustier, I'm still okay.
I haven't been to a kink club for a while, but I've been to a couple kink clubs where I get to the door, they're like, oh, you sure you're at the right place? I'm like, yeah, I know. I am at the right place. I know where I'm at. They're like, you sure you're not like meant to go to the swing dancing club just like next door? I'm like, oh, there's a swing dancing club next door? That sounds awesome. I'll do that tomorrow. But tonight I'm meant to be here and I'd like to be here. They're like, okay. The tickets are not refundable. I'm like, that's fine. I'll be fine. Thank you.
That's funny. Because, again, you are the founder and owner of something that is so deeply entrenched in our community now. It's really interesting. How successful is FetLife? The last statistics I could find was 4 million page views a day.
No, it's a lot more than that. Last count, I think we're at about 600 million page views a month.
Wow.
So was that 20 million? That's, if my math is correct with my engineering degree, that's 20 million a day.
Well, see, I'm an art major, so you could tell me anything and I'd believe it. So, because I can't keep up.
But with respect to the requests, it's much more. Like with in the United States, we're like a top 600 website.
Mm-hmm.
Canada, same thing. So pretty much any English country, we're a top 1,000 website in the world.
Wow.
In those countries.
How many users do you know?
We just passed 3 million a couple weeks ago. When it comes to amount of people that return every month, I think we do 400 or 500,000 people who visit the site every month.
That's a lot of
unique people.
Yeah.
It's a lot of kinksters.
Yeah.
I always believe that about 10% of people in this world are kinky.
I think it's probably more than that, actually. But
we don't have numbers because not everybody stands with their hand up.
Yeah.
Of course.
What's your stance on sock puppets?
There's some people who literally have multiple personalities, and we've dealt with that before. We've had to scratch our head where somebody literally had four different personalities, and, you know, they had four different profiles. There's some people who would switch, and they want to have a profile that's dominant and another profile that's submissive. That's fine, too. There's a lot of situations where people want to have multiple profiles for themselves that they're not using for nefarious purposes that are perfectly cool. But if someone creates a secondary profile to get around a block or to cause problems, you know, I'm talking about that 10,000-foot level, the devil's always in the details, and context is king. You know, the team responsible for handling that stuff would remove it if they have sufficient proof to prove that this is a secondary profile.
Because my first gut reaction about sock puppets, and I should explain for any listeners, because we get a lot of brand new to the lifestyle and even to FetLife media, social media. Sock puppet, we mean somebody that went in and created an alternative profile that's not really them, but as John pointed out, it can be a different aspect of their personality, or it could be something totally different just to explore a different area. I have a sock puppet because I sometimes need a place where I can discuss things or vent about things without causing an uproar in my local community or getting Master mad at me because I shared something that he felt was a little too personal, but I needed to talk about it. So the sock puppet works that way for me.
Women have the need to do that. I've had long conversations with my partner about that. She's like, can I create a secondary profile to just talk about our relationship? And I'm like,
yeah.
But.
You would have that. That would be awkward for you, wouldn't it? Because there's a lot more spotlight on you.
No. If it's a secondary, it's all hypothetical. It's not him.
Okay. How many people keep FetLife running? What kind of staff do you have to have?
So I still get emails from people asking me, you know, what's my day job? but then if you speak to like somebody who's technical minded, they're like, yeah, so you must be like 40 employees. We're ridiculously understaffed. We're 12 people. We're trying out 2 people right now to help bring on the team. We're basically 12 people. We hope to get to 19 or 20 by the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
As you can tell, FetLife has not changed a lot over the past year or two, has not really improved over the last year or two. And we're really trying to, you know, get our groove back, get our mojo back and try to up the game. But we haven't been able to because we just haven't had enough people to push things forward. I mean, the engineering team is just one person.
Wow.
You know, of the 12 people, is one ad sales. I think there's 6 or 7 support people.
Mm-hmm.
There's one who's the head of the greeter team. There's Eric, who's the engineer. There's me, who runs the company, as well as a designer. There's Scott, who's a designer in HR. We're a very small team, but we're looking at hiring hopefully 3 engineers in the next 3 months, and then hopefully another designer. Because we really would like to take the FetLife to the next level.
Yeah.
But it's just a matter of finding the right people.
John, I am curious, how has it been for you personally to shift from an engineer to a manager?
I can't keep up with engineers anymore. I've lost my mojo. It's hard. I kind of stopped being the engineer on FetLife about 4 years ago and was just the front-end designer, front-end engineer. And no matter what, it's tough. That's all I can say. It's tough to let go and let other people design and let other people do things. I like being on the front lines. So we organize the company in such a way where it kind of, there's no managers. It's just everybody does what they do. Mm-hmm. We all discuss things together. We do everything, we communicate everything together. We discuss everything together. We figure things out together. And we just, I'm kind of just the editor.
So this is not just a unique website. You're also working with a unique business model here, too, with very employee-friendly and employee-interactive.
Yeah, I mean, we have an office, but people can come in. People can come in if they want. They don't have to come in if they don't want. They know what they have to do. As long as they do what they have to do, then I don't care where in the world they're working from.
That would be such a great place to work, wouldn't it?
It would, wouldn't it?
So, going back to how many people you have on staff, you also have a lot of help from volunteers, people who volunteer to be greeters and caretakers?
Yes.
And how do you characterize a greeter?
When I first started FetLife, everybody who joined the site, I was so happy they joined the site. I sent them a message thanking them for joining them, or asking them if they liked the site or not, anyway, and crew. And I was pretty much, got to the point where I was greeting people about 8 hours a day and never getting any work done. So a couple really nice members messaged me and repeatedly was like, hey, you know, why don't you let other people greet them? I'm like, no, I want to do it myself. I want to do it myself. I was like, no, we'd love to greet new members. So let us do it. So eventually when it just gave me too much, I finally let go because I'm a control freak.
Mm-hmm.
And I let other people start helping greeting me. And greeting people who join the site. And, it started with 3 people, and now we have a team with 85 slots.
Wow.
Because about, 3,500, 4,000 people fly up a day.
Yeah.
So it's one of the more difficult things to scale as a company, but or as a community. But it's something I'm kind of like proud of, the fact that we've lasted this long. A lot of companies are like, hey, we've done it at the beginning. People know who we are. We've reached critical mass. Let's drop this idea. And we never drop the idea. It's an important part of the whole experience.
And so what's the difference between a greeter greets and a caretaker? What sort of goes around putting out fires or?
So the whole thing is, a lot of sites have moderators. I felt moderators was a very cold term.
Mm-hmm.
And I tend to use real like analogies from the real world to name things and to figure out how things should work, on FetLife.
Mm-hmm.
We created a team called caretakers that are responsible for, helping people. It could be moderating stuff. It could be technical support questions. It could be, working with 2 people who are not getting along and trying to kind of be a mediator between the two. Simplest thing is somebody needs a friend and then they message in and they're like, hey, I don't know where I fit in. And, their caretaker will help them try to find a place where they can fit in on FetLife.
Well, that's great that that's there. And I agree with you. I like the word caretaker a lot better than moderator. Moderator always reminded me of like the snotty kid that was sucking up to the teacher and got to be the hall monitor, and
right.
Said, Jimmy is throwing spitballs again.
Some people make fun of the caretakers and they refer to them as care bears because of our difference in philosophy. But I take it as a compliment.
Well, I also, again, in my extensive research, said there have been occasions when caretakers have sort of intervened when people were posting some really dire, depressed, I'm going to slip my wrist kind of statements. Does that happen a lot, or is that just a rare occurrence?
Thankfully, it doesn't happen often, but it does happen. And whenever, somebody's extremely depressed and we're afraid for them, I've gotten the phone and called the cops and said, hey, this person has said that they're committing suicide in the next hour and overdosing. Please, please, do something about it or go to their house or whatever. And I have not just one caretaker, but I'll have the caretaker stop what they're doing and hit up from multiple angles, the person to try to see if they can connect with them. Because, maybe I won't connect with them because of my name or because of the way I spell, but another caretaker might connect with the person because of their demeanor.
Yeah.
So it's not good just one person hits them up, but we like to try to have multiple people hit them up.
Well, I think that's great that you do that. I mean.
Yeah, I don't, like I tell the caretakers or any person on the team, you don't have any regrets.
Yeah.
If you could make a difference in somebody's life and then you don't take it, then you're only going to have regrets, and it's not fun going to bed at night with regrets.
No, one of the reasons I got into this whole lifestyle is I did not want to be a little old lady on the front porch of the nursing home saying, gee, I wish I'd had that gangbang back in 1980-something, and I wish I had found out what it was like to be, you know, tied up and beaten.
I've never had a threesome, okay? So don't put my face.
Oh, John.
You know what? I was at a kink event, and three girls turned around to me and said, you want to have a threesome? And I just, like, looked around. I'm like, there's nobody around me. Are they talking to me? And I'm just like, no, and I ran away.
John, you're a rock star. You got to live it, man.
That's not me.
Okay. We're trying to make you.
But that's a regret. I would say that's one of my little regrets in life. I don't think I would have been able to please them with
trust me, John, any more than two, and the only thing you're doing is managing them.
You know, that might have been a good training for what was for me with FetLife.
Well, it's like I looked at your fetish interests on your profile. And
I haven't updated those since the day we launched, but okay.
But no, my favorite one was Amish gangbangs.
Okay, the one I updated recently. But somebody posted it, and I had to post it because it was fucking funny.
I thought it was funny, too. But you've got like 17,000 friends.
In real life, I have zero friends. Except my little dog, Kingsley. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be your friends.
Well, thank you. other than my little pug, you know, I don't. Whatever. Not some therapy session. Let's move on.
Okay. But you've talked a little bit about your personal kink. You were drawn towards sadism or just dominance, or was it both? Yeah, I know you like rope bondage.
I love it. I think it's beautiful. I have very little patience. So when I have the opportunity to do it, I'll do it. But it's one of those things that you have to practice all the time to be able to get better and better,
mm-hmm.
and I don't. So I get frustrated every time I do it. And I was at, what was that event here in Vancouver, like the show? There's a show, like a sex show style thing. And I tied up my partner on a teepee style suspension thing. It has three legs.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, it was like boss bondage is, I wasn't thinking. I didn't check to see if it was screwed to the floor or not. And then I pushed my partner hard. And the whole thing came tumbling down on the booth next to me. Everybody's looking at me. And I'm like, oh, fuck. It had to happen to anybody. It had to happen to me.
Oh, I'm so sorry,
John. People just shaking
John.
Their heads. They're like, fuck. And you say you run FetLife. I'm like, fuck me. I think I was red as a tomato. In the bedroom, I'm turning red. I'm a very aggressive and dominant person day to day. I'm very in control day to day. I like control. I like power. Not power. Power is the wrong word.
Authority?
No, I have a disdain for authority.
Okay.
I guess other people's authority. But it's more of just something just in the bedroom. Yes, I do like hurting people, but I also like hurting myself in the sense that every sport I played, you know, the more you hit, the harder I was hit, the quicker I got up, and the more I want to get hit again or I want to hit you again. I've always liked pain. I've always liked inflicting pain, but nobody's ever sexually inflicted pain towards me or in a sexual context.
Mm-hmm.
It was just in sports. You know, I used to be, before there was UFC, you know, I used to fight in rings, UFC style. I've had 9 or 10 concussions.
Wow.
Please wear. Tell your kids to wear a helmet. I think my kids are going to be born with helmets. I'll screw them to their head. Yeah, it's. I'm pretty much into anything and everything. There's probably nothing I'm not into.
Mm-hmm.
I have a severe case of ADD, so I constantly like change.
Mm-hmm.
But I also like a very, very traditional life as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, my partner is also ridiculously kinky. We met at FetLife.
Yeah.
She worked for us. I met her. We live a very, very, very traditional life. And then when we have some time, we don't.
John, I noticed that you don't post a lot. Some people say that it's attributed to your dyslexia.
Jesus Christ, people. Oh, all the laundry coming out. I'm not a good writer. It's the one like quality that I wish I had that I'm so jealous of other people having. I can write, but it takes me a long, long, long time to write things. It's not just that. It's gathering my thoughts, gathering my ideas, making them concise, telling a good story. I there's some people who could just get behind the keyboard and type something in logic, in a very logical, great story. They sucker you in with the first sentence. You stay there, paragraph to paragraph. It's amazing. It's beautiful. You know, it's amazing. And then like myself, I'm just like, and then I just have to iterate over it. And it could take me 8 to 12 hours to write a post. And I don't mind doing it, but
life doesn't let you. Yeah.
And that's why we have Kate, who is our prolific author in the group.
But see, the secret there is that Kate may be able to write well, but Kate cannot balance her checkbook. Kate cannot remember what percentage rate mortgage she has. Anything with numbers, I'm like a deer in the headlights.
And I remember right. Everything. So, you know. Everybody is different, and that's why you have people that are doing the things at FetLife, and you do what you do at FetLife.
I would post, but most people, I'm very sensitive, ridiculously sensitive person. I don't know why I'm saying this, because I'm pointing a bullseye on my back. But like, because I'm so sensitive, I'm afraid of sometimes just being myself, because if I'm just myself, people are going to be like, oh, you have, you know, you have so many friends. You should be more responsible with your words, and you can't tell jokes like that, or you can't like say things like that. And it's like, but they're just like, I know that they're like off color jokes, or I know that some people might take it the wrong way, but it's just a joke, or like, I'm just trying to make you laugh. Like, it's everything I say tends to be like, some people love the shit out of it, and then there's a couple people who hate the shit out of it, and it's hard on me.
Political correctness on FetLife, that's pretty interesting in itself.
You know, but I think it goes beyond political correctness. I have this problem at work that nobody gets my sense of humor. I get these blank stares at work, and I'm like, but what? That was funny. But they don't see it that way. So, see, John just laughed, and you guys didn't. So
I can relate.
Yeah.
There's a guy named Scott at work, and when I tell a joke, I know he's going to laugh. I know he's going to get it. And then everybody else is going to be like, I can't believe he fucking said that. And I'm like, but Scott thought it was funny. You know, it's...
Some people just don't...
I just stay in my dungeon.
Sarcasm, irony, hyperbole, some people just, it goes right past them, and they don't realize that I'm joking, so...
Some people don't have a sense of humor.
That brings up an interesting question. Being, as you are in the public eye now, because there's been a lot of press about FetLife... Are there still people who, friends, family, that don't know you're sort of kinky or that you do this? Are you totally out of the kinky closet, or are you still got a certain distance?
Well, my parents probably think I'm just doing this for work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to go to the family table and totally correct them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because I'm not proud of what I do. It's because they're my parents.
Yeah.
And I know they wanted me to be a doctor or something else, and I have to respect them. They're older people.
Yeah.
I love them more than anything in this world, and there's no reason to hurt them.
Yeah.
I mean, like anything, there's no reason to tell things or force things in people's face who you know are not comfortable with something or who you know are going to judge you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's some people that I'm 100% open with, and some people that they know what I do, but it'll just hurt them if I tell them too much, and there's no reason to.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting you talk about they think you do it for the money or because it's your job. It's like my mother knows. I've written several vanilla novels, and she very much supports that. She knows that I wrote one really naughty novel, and she asked, should she read it? And I said, no, I don't think so. And she said, it's that bad, huh? I said, yeah, Mom, it's that bad. But she thinks that I wrote it because it was something my agent recommended. Because erotica
sells. You know
what?
Everybody rationalizes.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's what she needs to do to rationalize, to be able to justify things into her head, that's perfectly fine.
I'm very happy with her thinking that. So,
in this day of the, I hate to use the word popular media, but the news channels, digging up people that are in the scene and reporting. Has the media ever opened up FetLife?
Or tried to approach you for information on your members?
Oh, for sure. The media hits me up all the time, for good and for bad. The majority of it's for good, though.
The majority of it is
like, holy shit, I'm kinky. I work at this huge publication, I'd love to do an exposé on FetLife. To be honest, I reject about 98 to 99% of everything. Because I don't want us to be in the media. Or I don't care for us to be in the media. I don't think right now is, my gut tells me it's not a good idea. So I trust my gut. Has there been stories of somebody bad on the site and then somebody told them this bad person's on the site? You should go check out their profile for sure. But the media, I have to give it to the media. They've been, for the most part, extremely respectful, and they've only took screenshots or pictures of that one specific person who was in the news for other reasons.
Yeah.
They weren't going to grab some random person and say, look, there's a kinky profile out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's more, this person did something really bad in real life. They were a member of these three sites, including FetLife.
Mm.
That's usually the extent it goes. But I mean, I've dealt with the cops before, and the cops have always been, especially in Canada, extremely, extremely respectful to us,
mm-hmm.
extremely nice. And they're always like, dude, what you guys do in the privacy of your own bedroom, A-okay with us. We just don't want to have any problems with bad people,
yeah.
people who do really bad things, and I'm on the same page with them.
Well, maybe this is a good segue into some of the obstacles that you've had to face on FetLife. There was the Great Ban of 2008. Can we talk about that, or would you rather not?
The Great Ban of 2008, I made a huge mistake. After doing what I did under extreme pressure, not pressure from other people, this is my first time running a community.
Yeah.
Just like anybody. Anybody who runs a company, it's their first time doing it for reals.
Yeah.
For reals. Wow, I said for reals. It's the first time that there's so many new things that you encounter that any Monday morning quarterback could sit there and judge and re-question your things.
Yeah.
The person who has to take action always has 10 times more information. Under the pressure that I felt like I was in to try to make the right decision to make people feel comfortable on FetLife, I went about something the wrong way to do it.
And what we're, for people who don't know, we're talking about an incident came up where about 30 people were banned from FetLife because there were people who were saying that these were bad people for whatever reason, that they were detrimental to the site. And but I read your update and announcement about it when you came back, and you said very honestly, and I thought very eloquently, I made a mistake. I'm new at this, and we should have done this, but now we fixed it. And I like the fact that all but two of those people you brought back to FetLife. What about the two that didn't come back?
Well, you know, I can make mistakes, and I do make mistakes. I was the last person to say I didn't fuck up in life. I fucked up quite a few times. But when somebody gives you a death threat, you know, it's just like, they went over the line. And if they came back and they apologized and said, you know what, I was pissed. I shouldn't have done that. Let me back. I would have been really cool with it, because we all make mistakes.
Yeah.
But I think they needed to apologize before I blankly let them back on the site.
Yeah.
And if I remember correctly, it's been a long time, but if I remember correctly, I didn't get a message from them apologizing, so I never let them back.
I don't blame you. Don't blame you at all.
I'll be the first one to admit in all this that I think I make a lot of good decisions, mm-hmm. but I also make mistakes. I think everybody makes mistakes in their life. The trick here, for me personally, the way I look at things is, it's not that I'm trying to avoid mistakes, but it's to detect when I make mistakes and to fix them.
Yeah.
And I understand that, you know, when you run a very large community, you have to try your best to make the least amount of mistakes that affect people's lives.
Yeah.
And that's what I try to do. I do make mistakes, but I still will make mistakes in my life.
Well, I think you do an amazing job, considering that it's such a big community with so many personalities that are, let's face it, sometimes prone to drama, to dramatic statements of their philosophy, and be damned if anybody else is going to disagree with them. It's like herding cats times a million. So my hat's off to you for keeping your sanity. Then you had the issue with credit card processing. The credit card Visa, I think it was, stopped processing credit cards for you.
Right.
And that chain led to some changes in policy on FetLife.
The credit card companies kind of dictate what you're allowed, Visa, American Express, or whatever, what you can buy with those things. For instance, with American Express, you cannot buy pornography. You can't go to a porn site and buy a subscription to a porn site with American Express.
Well,
they just don't allow it.
I didn't know that.
You know, and most people probably don't know that. And Visa is the same thing. They have rules or regulations about what you can and cannot.
Well, I figured you couldn't buy
cannot purchase with their website.
Couldn't buy, you know.
So it could be
cocaine with it, but
sure. But it could be totally legal in your country.
Mm-hmm.
But they still don't want their brand to be associated with it.
Huh.
Even the credit cards won't tell you why something's taken down or why they stopped processing. All it is they stop processing.
Yeah.
And then you run around with like a chicken with your head cut off and you try to fix the situation with very, 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 very little information.
Right.
And all you can do is deduce by speaking to as many people as possible to try to figure out how to make things happen.
Yeah.
To get things back to a good place. Yeah. We had a full team. We didn't fire anybody. The thing that I'm most proud about the whole situation is that we did not let one person go.
Uh-huh.
And we were running at a loss for like 5 months
mm-hmm.
Until we were able to process again. And not only that, during that time, we hired a bunch of extra people to help us, you know, solve the problem.
Yeah.
You know, beefed up our caretaking team and hired more full-time caretakers. But yeah, probably one of the reasons why my stomach hurts 24/7.
Oh, dear.
Every day and probably for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
But it was one of the more stressful times in my life.
Yeah. So I guess that would lead us to talk about ways that people can support FetLife. Everybody likes to talk about how much FetLife is a great thing for our community. It's brought us a sense of community that we didn't have before. What are the concrete things that we can do to support FetLife and help it continue to improve?
So I'm not a salesperson, and not only am I a salesperson, I have a disdain for salespeople.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to try to sell people. What I'm going to say is I want people to be themselves.
Mm-hmm.
If people support us, everybody supports us differently, and it's the sum of all the ways that people support us
mm-hmm.
that makes FetLife the way it is.
Yeah.
There are some people who write some freaking amazing erotica. There's some people who write amazing, you know, op-ed pieces. There's some people who post amazing pictures. There's some people who post amazing videos. There's some people who run amazing groups and comment on stuff. And add a lot of value by participating in discussions and bringing people together. And, you know, there's some people who support us financially to $5 a month to make it possible for us to hire people and to be able to pay for our servers.
Mm-hmm.
The sum of all of that makes FetLife what it is today and supports FetLife. So however you can give back,
mm-hmm.
it's always much appreciated. And if you can easily afford $5 a month and FetLife brings you a lot more than $5 worth of value a month, then we really appreciate your support. It allows kinksters like you and I to do this for a living.
Yeah.
Instead of going to work at a non-kinky company.
Which sucks. Yeah.
You know, so I definitely thank everybody for everything they do. I'm so blessed.
Yeah.
And I might sound like I'm freaking religious today because I've mentioned God, I think, once or twice,
uh-huh.
and I've used the word blessed, but I'm definitely not religious. Well, I do wear a cross, but we'll get to that another day. We're definitely ridiculously, ridiculously blessed to come into work every day and do what we love.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely love what we do. I have this huge guilt on me that I'm not doing enough every day.
Mm-hmm.
I go to bed sometimes pissed off, and I'm like getting upset with my partner, and she's like, "Why are you upset?" I'm like, because I didn't do as much as I could have today.
Yeah.
You know, I want our kinky community to be the model community for all niche communities out there. And we're far from it. We're doing an amazing job, but I know we can do much, much better. And I hope over the years that, you know, FetLife will play a role in being able to take us to the next level and be a model community.
Quickly, as we start to roll this up, I just want to take this opportunity to do what I think a lot of people probably do when they get you in a corner at a party or at the coffee bar or whatever. Tell you what I would like to see changed on FetLife.
Oh, yeah. We got a bunch of those people. But that's the one thing we don't lack.
Okay.
All right, tell me.
Well, my suggestion is I think we need to radically expand the statuses and the relationships. to more accurately reflect some of the realities. For instance, I really think we need something, not just poly, but then we need one, I'm poly because he says I have to be.
What?
Come on, you know that this...
I'm not trying to laugh at you, but I was like, but that kind of hit me off guard.
It hit me off guard, too.
You thought I was being serious. I am kind of serious, but this is mostly a joke. But I really think that there's a huge group of, and this is my own personal soapbox, there's a huge community of female subs out in our community that say they're poly when they're really not poly. What they are is they're poly because the man they're involved with says they have to be.
But isn't there a title for that? Isn't that like cuckold or swingers or...
Okay, I'd settle for reluctantly poly. Can we go with reluctantly poly?
I'm going to have a long night, John.
Yeah, I can tell.
I feel like we could do a better job with that one.
I also, you know, something, what I'm looking for, you've got, you know, a sub, a switch, a friend, a lover, a princess, bud day. I think there also needs to be one that's just really honest that says, I'm looking for a harem. See, he gets my sense of humor, yeah. I'm serious.
We suck balls. When it comes to that section, that section sucks balls. Uh-huh. Our genders, we need to expand totally. We're currently, Scott and I, are working our butts off on a huge, some huge changes.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take a while to get out, but when it comes to genders, roles, relationships, we hope to expand that section drastically with our next couple iterations.
I should have explained that I'm just a terrible cynic and I poke fun at just about every community because I like to point out why this doesn't work. My master is hugely poly and I give him crap about it all the time because I'm kind of reluctantly poly-ish. That's where that came from.
So I wanted the monogamous as fuck, but it was rejected.
How about poly doesn't work, but neither does monogamy, so...
Let's call the whole thing off.
Okay.
Right. All right. John, thank you for joining us tonight, and you've given us a very open view into what FetLife is, and we really do appreciate your time.
You have been listening to episode 25 of the Kinky Cast. Today we featured FetLife founder John Bakul. The Kinky Cast is a production of Rooster in the Round. On behalf of Woody, the Beast, and Kate, I'm Max. See you next week for Sarah Miles, Sexuality Activist.